I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Marley Gordon, who was 23, says she fell in love with the Nepali people during the 4 summers she spent volunteering at her mother's place of business, the Charlottesville branch of the International Rescue Committee.
They come from Bhutan, where they were having a cultural warfare between the Bhutanese and culturally Nepali. So they were kicked out, they live in these horrible conditions in refugee camps, and then they come here to the United States. They have no possessions, they don't speak English, and it's horrible to try and imagine, yourself in that situation. So I met them, I talked to them, and even with all this kind of baggage, they are able to laugh at themselves. They make mistakes.
At themselves.
At themselves, right. They're just very, there's something very happy about them. They take life as it comes. There's a phrase they use a lot, ke garne, which means what to do. So it's a very light, if something horrible happens, their reaction is a lot of the times, what to do. So there's this idea of kind of your lack of control, but then you accept life as it is thrown at you. Right after I graduated from college in Boston University, I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew working with refugees brought me a lot of joy. It was really rewarding. And so I got advice from different teachers, and they told me just go on site and you'll find a job. That's the best way to do it. So I went to Nepal looking to work with refugees. That was the intention.
Did you have a bankroll with you? Did you have just a knapsack on your back?
I just packed as much as I could into two, backpack and a suitcase, and I just went. Yeah.
Marla Gordon showed up in Nepal in the summer of 2014 and was still there during the April 2015 earthquake, during which 9,000 people were killed and 23,000 were injured. Marley immediately pitched in to help.
Plenty of people would have been in an earthquake in Nepal and said, get me the blankety blank out of here.
Yeah.
And you're hunkering down.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
I had been there about 9 months at that point. So I had really strong ties with these people, and I didn't want to abandon them. That's really what it was about. We'd gone through the same thing. We were exactly the same. And who am I to leave when at the same point I knew I could help, even that I could even make a difference to try to get relief to people who needed it?
Because you could work the system better?
Well, because I have ties in the United States, and they have resources. That of course wasn't until I went to the countryside and saw the destruction. And then I was like, okay, there's no way I'm leaving.
So when did you go to the countryside?
That was 3 days after. The first project I had in Nepal was to build a school in this village 2 hours from the capital.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fundraising for that. And
this is pre-earthquake.
Right.
Okay.
The first thing that kind of was like, okay, now I have a purpose to be here. So the head of the school board came and got me. We went on his motorcycle 2 hours to his home. And the entire ride, I was just in shock at the reality of these homes just gone.
Were there people around?
Everywhere, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Around.
What to do? That's the thing. And they were starting to rebuild these shelters out of whatever they could salvage, really.
Were there any aid workers in yet?
Not where I was, but there was, of course, a huge reaction. So I went to the countryside. I had been there before. I knew the people, and they were just crushed. I mean, the only thing really that Nepali people own in the countryside is their home. And that was gone. Their humor was gone. They were just sitting dejected, What are we going to do now? Was the question. I worked with my really good friend, Buan Roca. People were calling him. He has, a large network. And they were saying, please help us. We have nothing. He is an amazing person. He's been in social work for years. He's in his 30s. And I started working with him through SatSat, which is an NGO that works with street children to rehabilitate them. He has two daughters that are his own and 16 street children he takes care of. And he was also really badly affected by the earthquake. He lost his home. So a lot of it was kind of getting him back to work. Like, Juan, come on, we have to do something. Don't just sit here.
The starch was sort of knocked out of him.
Very, very much.
Okay. So yeah. The first thing to do was get him going again.
Because I knew he was capable and needed him, honestly. And it took a little while, but we got a group together and there were all these donations coming in. So we would go to schools that were getting donations from abroad and say, hey, we're going to this village. We need this and this for like 30 families. And they'd just give it to us. And so a lot of it was free. We just had to pay for fuel. We just hit the road, got in these Jeeps packed full of 30 kg bags of rice and dal, which is lentils. That's their national food, is lentils and rice. And medicine. We brought tarps because they needed something to make shelters with. And yeah, just as soon as someone would call, we said, okay, you're the next one. We're going to work on you. And in that way, we made it to about four or five places before we realized we really needed to organize.
This led Marley Gordon and Juan Roca to organize Nepali for Nepali, an NGO focused on post-earthquake relief, providing food, shelter, and medical support. Get blatant about this. You're over here to raise money.
That's right.
What are you raising money for? What are you going to do with this money?
Specifically right now, we are working on buying a hand press machine. It's a brick machine. They make interlocking bricks, and the ones that are made in Nepal are $800 each. That's pretty much the cheapest one you can afford to get. It's a very simple machine. You know, Nepal people can man it themselves. And our hope is to buy these machines, and then we ourselves as an NGO will produce the bricks first and sell them to other institutions, colleges that have the resources to kind of hire their own and rebuild by themselves. Moving on, we want to start what we call a youth entrepreneurship program. And again, it's about empowering. So we would be starting a micro business, selling the machine to them on loan first. So they would pay us back by making these bricks, selling them, and then that's the way they would create a business that would be employing youth from the countryside that honestly don't have a lot of opportunity outside of farming. And then they would be making the bricks that can rebuild their homes.
And would these interlocking bricks do better in an earthquake?
We've done a lot of research on it and even got to see a house built in this method. It was not a crack, so we were convinced. It's a widely used technology in Thailand and Africa, and we think that this is the best way because it would be using soil, you're using local manpower. It really made sense to us.
Pictures and links of Marley and of Nepali for Nepali efforts are on the Spark page at WMRA.org. By the way, Marley suggested the song I used in editing our conversation. It is, she says, huge in Nepal. Give me Rama.